Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gilliatti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gilliatti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gilliatti, and I'm here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great, Steve. Always good to be here on Saturday night. You may have missed us last week because of the football game, and we got flipped to a Sunday night, but here we are back on Saturday night, so I don't know what day it is. But anyway, we're happy to be here doing another program talking about God's Word. And this evening we have kind of a very special program, and we have a special guest with us tonight that Stephen and I are going to interview. Her name is Carrie Burns, and I'm just going to have Steve tell you a little bit about her organization, and then we're going to get her right on the air.
Okay, Carrie is from the International Christian Embassy of Jerusalem. She is involved with education, and she is from the Chicago, Illinois area. And we met Carrie, Phil and I met Carrie back in, I think it was March, in Youngstown. There was a presentation that was put on by the ICEJ, International Christian Embassy of Jerusalem. It was called For Such a Time as This, and a Corrie Ten Boom dramatization. And the information that was presented was very well presented, and it, mm-hmm. it really touched our hearts. And yes, we thought we would have Carrie on the show to talk a little bit to the listeners about the work that the ICEJ does in Jerusalem and around the world. And
yeah, that was an awesome program.
Yeah, it was.
So let's bring Carrie. Carrie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, guys.
Hi,
good
Carrie.
Evening.
Great to have you on our show.
It's a pleasure. It was, yeah, I remember our time in Youngstown and how eagerly the people soaked up the information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As you probably know, Stephen and I do a lot of work with Messianic Jewish believers, and a lot of our ministries are directed to Israel, and we do a lot of education about Israel. And so we're really glad to have you here. So why don't we just start by having you tell us a little bit about the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem and the kind of work that the ministry does?
Well, you know, I first found out about them. I'm in radio myself, and I first found out about the embassy when we started bringing groups to Israel.
Uh-huh.
And discovered that they had a daily email publication that came out that every day you could read that and you know, learn about the current events that are going on and learn about the take on what's happening in Israel from a evangelical point of view. And so that's how we first started learning about the embassy, mm-hmm. just by getting their emails every single day. And you can find it at www.icej.org. But soon we started getting involved with them, and one of the things that ICEJ is famous for is the Feast of Tabernacles.
Ooh.
And have you ever
coming
been
right
in Jerusalem during the feast?
I have not.
During Sukkot?
No.
Well, it's wild because people, Christians from all over the world, sometimes Americans tend to think, you know, we're the only Christians in the world, but there are believers, strong believers,
amen.
All over the world who love Israel,
yes.
and they gather during the Feast of Tabernacles every fall in Jerusalem, and the International Christian Embassy of Jerusalem is the hosting agency for this, and there's a march in Jerusalem, and there are worship sessions in the evening and pull out workshops and conferences and seminars mm-hmm. all week long. So that's another thing that the embassy does. Now, the headquarters is in Jerusalem
mm-hmm.
in the German colony, a beautiful building, but there's also branches in, it varies, between 60 and 80 nations, depending on when one is opening, when one is closing, but 60 to 80 nations in the world have a branch of the embassy, as does the United States. So I live here in the U.S. and am able to travel all over the country to speak on behalf of the embassy, to speak about anti-Semitism, about the Holocaust, about anti-Israel kinds of things that are going on in our country, in politics, and in the universities. So that's another strong component of the embassy, the educational component.
The anti-Israel.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The anti-Israel mood has really been gaining ground in the last few years.
Yeah, it has. And I remember just a few years ago. Oh, well, I guess it's probably 7 or 8 years ago. I was taking a course at a local seminary, and it was on theology of the Holocaust. And this was before I was connected with the embassy. So I'm taking this course, and the professor was saying, no, anti-Israel is not anti-Semitism. And I sat there and I thought about it, and I said, yes, it is. It's just got a different face. It's hating the Jews collectively, instead of it's a way that they can get around. I'm not a Jew hater. I just, I'm against Israel and the politics. So, since then, people have studied this, and yes, it's another form of anti-Semitism, and it is very strong. And it needs to be, we need to be in prayer, and we need to learn about this so we can speak against it and speak intelligently and with love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm, probably quite a bit older than you are, but, when you look back 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the American media was always pro-Israel. The American politicians were always pro-Israel. People in general were pro-Israel. And I remember the 67 war vividly and the 73 war vividly. And, people were cheering every time the Israelis had a victory because there was such widespread support. And that has really faded to a big extent now.
Yes, and there's a lot of explanations for it. Of course, we can try to understand it, and it's still wrong. I mean, it's still manifesting itself. Yeah. But an interesting component of it is the elite in politics and the universities, and a lot of them are Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
But they're coming against Israel. And one of the interesting aspects of that is that with the Marxism is prevalent in our country, and I come from academia, and I know what goes on in these universities, but it's like the underdog, David and Goliath, and they don't want to be the giant. They don't want to be the victor. It's like the big guy picking on the little guy, i.e. Israel picking on the Palestinians. And also there's a racial component.
Yeah.
It's like the whites against the people who of color.
Yeah.
Israel against the Palestinians. And it's really interesting to look at, but it's deadly.
Yes.
And it's evil.
Yeah, yeah. So anti-Semitism has been around for forever,
yeah.
Probably since the days that the people were in Egypt, and it's has a long history, and we've seen different forms of it. And the Holocaust, of course, was probably the most dramatic forms of it. But we see it kind of gaining today in popularity, and what you say is exactly true. And I was struck last week when I saw a world map that was made by a pharmaceutical company whose name I'm not going to mention, of course, but maybe I will, but I won't mention it now, where the state of Israel was labeled occupied Palestinian territories.
Oh, my.
And
this is for a drug company.
Yes. And I asked the salesperson to leave my office when I saw the map, and he was, you know, this nice young man who couldn't figure out what I was so upset about because this is how he's kind of been indoctrinated.
Yeah, you know, Carrie, as you were talking, I think that was one of the things that, as we were listening to your presentations in Youngstown, that there was a, you presented on a long history of anti-Semitism, not just, you know, from Nazi Germany, but really throughout the centuries, and how it has just progressed in different forms and different ways, but it still comes to the same thing, that there's a hatred, for lack of a better word, towards God's chosen people. And I think, you know, spiritually, as we look at God's plan of salvation, we see that, you know, the devil wants to destroy the things that God made, and God chose Israel. And now that we've been grafted into the vine, you even see the persecution against, you know, those who believe in God, followers of Christ, Christians, but more so Israel, than, and you see the spiritual battle that takes place. So could you speak to a little bit of that as far as the, some of the history through the centuries of different forms of anti-Semitism, even from the, you know, from the times where, the Israelites were, in Egypt.
Egypt. It's so Pharaoh wanted to destroy him. He told the midwives, you know, kill all the little baby boys, the Hebrew baby boys. And these two women, we know their names, Shifra and Puah. These two women said to each other, "No way." And those baby boys lived. And this is a case of people coming against an evil regime. And, you know, we have verses in Romans and so forth that say we need to obey our authorities.
Yes.
But there comes a point where you say no. These authorities have crossed the line. And I'm mentioning that now because when we jump to the Holocaust, so many Christians said, well, I'm supposed to obey the ruling authorities. And so, therefore, did not save lives risk their own lives. But going back to Egypt, these two women said, no way, and the babies were born. But then we jump ahead in time, and we go to Persia, and an evil guy, Haman, said, we need to destroy the Jews. They're not bowing down to us.
Yeah.
Let's destroy them. And an edict was given all across the globe over there. And that plan was thwarted as well. You march through time, and you come to the Lord Jesus was born, and Herod goes on the rampage. By golly, there's not going to be another king. I'm the king. And he orders all the baby boys to be killed. And they were in Bethlehem. And so forth and so on. The rage against God's people. So then you come, there's believers who follow this Jew from Galilee, Jesus. And the persecution begins against them and what Nero does and in the Roman Empire. But then things start changing around the 300s. And during when Constantine came into power and the church at Rome was established, then things started going south for the Jews, and the concept of Christ killers came into play and was preached from the pulpit, was preached during Palm Sunday and Easter and the week after that when most people went to church, and the label Christ killer took. And a hatred was fomented against God's people in the church. I could keep going. it's This is my heritage. I am a Christian. I'm a believer. And so much good came all through the ages in the church. And, you know, these are my forefathers. But there were serious, serious problems when it came to their beliefs on the Jews. Not everybody. But a lot of the main leaders, you know, had these things to say against the Jewish people. So much so, they'd say, okay, now you have to wear distinctive clothing or distinctive hat. The yellow star came long before the Holocaust. Ghettos came long before the Holocaust. Yeah. Venice was the first ghetto where the Jews had to be in. There was a moat, or, you know, Venice has all those canals, and there's a bridge, and they had to be in by, say, 8 o'clock at night, and they couldn't go out until 8 in the morning or whatever the hours were. And they were all herded together, living in one crowded area.
That's where we got our word ghetto from, the part of Venice where they were.
Yeah, it's Italian. Yes, exactly. And you march through time, and most people know about the Crusades. I think, and we even have a wonderful organization, Christian organization, that has that in their name, but it just sends shivers down the spines of our Jewish friends, because the Crusades, all right, go free the Holy Land of Islam, but along the way, these knights on their horses from Europe, from Germany, from England, they cut a swath through Europe and slaughtered the Jews on the way. And there were three different crusades, and that is what happened. And furthermore, the Pope at the time said, all right, if any of you guys owe money, and who are the money lenders? The Jews. And that's a whole neat story on how that came to be. But the Jews were mostly the money lenders, because Christians weren't allowed to charge interest on loans. And so the Jews went into banking. Plus, the Jews were able to speak a language across borders. They spoke Yiddish. And so Jews in Spain spoke Yiddish. Jews in Poland spoke Yiddish. So they had a language that cut across borders where other people didn't. The Jews were the merchants. So getting back to the Crusades, they said, all right, if you owe money, your debts are canceled if you become a Crusader. Well, all right then, I'm going to get on my horse, and I'm going to go down to the Holy Land with my lance and my sword. And therefore, the ironic thing is that the Jews ended up funding the Crusades, because they got saddled with not having the debts paid to them. So we have the Crusades, and a lot of people know about the Inquisition. And the forced conversions and the forced baptisms. The church was looking to root out the heretics, and they considered the Jewish people in the community heretics, even though it's their God that we worship. And so we know of all the atrocities that happened during the Inquisition. And at the same time, countries were expelling the Jews from their nations. England was the first to do it. England. They kicked the Jews out.
In the late 1100s,
And then we know Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, but that's also the year that the same king and queen, Isabella and Ferdinand, kicked the Jews out from Portugal.
And they had
Spain, and so forth.
Yeah, and the Jewish culture in Spain had been a thriving culture for many centuries, with intellectual achievements and literature and art and Maimonides, one of the greatest rabbis of all time, was in Spain, and he wrote many of the commentaries on the Torah. And you're right, in 1492, they were all expelled, and there was kind of this horrible ceremony where the Jews were all put onto boats, and they had the priests and bishops kind of giving them a blessing as they left. And said, you know, see you, have a nice day. And the boats all left. And interestingly, that day and also the day that they were expelled from England in 1190-something was also the ninth day of the month of Av, on which both temples were destroyed.
So yeah, it's all Tishba just, Av, I was in Sfat in Israel on that day.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah,
quite, it's
and,
quite a
you
long
know,
history.
Then a lot of the Jews decided, all right, I'm out of here. You know, they went east
yes.
Europe. They went to Poland.
Yes.
And but some of them decided, I'm out of here, and they went to the New World. They went to Mexico City.
Yes.
They went to South America. They went to the islands. And the Inquisition
followed
them
yes.
there, and you have
yes.
all the same fetters and the
yes.
roundups and the burning
have,
at the stake
yes.
and
I
the
done,
great big parties and carnivals
yeah.
that they would have to burn the Jews.
Yes, I've done a lot of mission work.
Huh?
I've done a lot of mission work in Mexico City, and there were big populations of Jews that were called the secret Jews.
Yeah.
So during the day, they pretended to be Catholic, and then they kept their Jewishness at home to save themselves from the Inquisition.
Mm.
Well, we are at our first break, so we're going to take a minute to listen to some Paul Wilbur music, and I hope you can hear it too, Carrie.
Okay.
And then Stephen is going to talk about an event coming up, and we'll be right back in a minute or so on the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220 WHKW, The Word.
The atoning of the Lord. Once your streets are filled with joy, branches raised up high, shouting, blessed be the Holy One, Yeshua Tadonai. Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem, peace be to you. When may his praise be found in you. Israel, beloved, Ephraim, my son, how my heart would thrill to hear you say, Messiah has come. Oh, my brothers, hear these words. May it pierce your soul.
You're listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliani here with Stephen Garchar and our special guest, Carrie Burns. And before we get back to Carrie, Steve has something he'd like to announce that many of you may be interested in that go along with the program we're having today.
Thanks, Phil. On October 2nd, that is a Sunday, at Slippery Rock University Union in Slippery Rock, PA, from 6 to 9 p.m., there will be a day of prayer for the peace of Jerusalem. And if you'd like more information, you can visit our website, www.giftofgraceministries.org, and go to the ministry page. There is information and phone numbers there for contact and also a flyer. And if you want further information, the phone number is 724-992-1259. 724-992-1259. 1859. And again, that's the day of prayer for the peace of Jerusalem on Sunday, October 2nd at Slippery Rock University Union in beautiful Slippery Rock, PA.
Mm-hmm. It is beautiful.
It is there.
And that's a nice website, too, that you mentioned.
The Gift of Grace Ministries, that's it's a wonderful website.
And boy, that leads us right into, we should be talking about praying for Israel.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we have Carrie here for that, too. This is a really special time in history to really be praying for Israel. And Carrie, why don't you talk about that for a little while?
Yeah, you know, it is. And back in history, we all know Corrie Ten Boom, who was a Holocaust rescuer. Well, for 100 years, from 1844, I think it was, in her home in Harlem, Holland, they began praying for the peace of Jerusalem every week at a Bible study in that same house through the generations. And then we know what magnificent things Corrie and her family were able to do. They gave their lives for the Jewish people. But what a legacy and what a build-up and a foundation that praying for the peace of Jerusalem did. It prepared them for that coming night. And I think the same is true for us now. We need to be in the habit of praying for the peace of Jerusalem, praying for Israel every day, if we can remember, and praying scripture over her and just lifting up the nation and the people before God, because there's so much coming against Israel. And we know that the UN is, the General Assembly is going to be opening soon, and the Palestinians want to declare a state with their capital as Jerusalem.
Yes.
Well, Jerusalem's the capital of Israel.
Yes.
And we need to pray. We need to pray that the UN will fail in their attempts to divide Israel.
Yeah,
we need to pray that God will watch over that nation. We need to pray that our country and our leaders will be strong supporters and faithful allies of Israel. And we just need to pray. We're in this together, Judeo-Christian. And what happens, what affects Israel, affects you and me as believers. They're a big brother.
Yes, absolutely.
Whether they're believers or not, whether they believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob or not, whether they believe in Yeshua or not, they're a big brother.
We've been grafted in, and they're the root.
That's right. We're the guest.
And Paul, Paul talks about that in the book of Romans.
So if we can get in the habit of supporting Israel in prayer, the Lord will teach us in our spirits and also help us discern when we watch the news and we see all kinds of conflicting reports and we can't make sense of it. Well, pretty soon it'll start to make sense. You keep listening to programs like this, get on ICEJ's website, go to Yad Vashem's website, the Holocaust Museum in Israel. You keep educating yourself, and pretty soon you're going to start to get it, and you're going to start to see patterns, and you'll start to become educated and know how to speak.
Yes.
And it's no easy thing, I know, to come against all these big entities that are so filled with hate and so filled with irrationality. It's irrational.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I think, you know, you guys both brought up, it's in Psalm 122, of course, where God says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, may they prosper who love you. And, you know, it's one of the Psalms of Ascent as you go up the Temple Mount to the temple. But, I can't think offhand of any other city that the Bible tells us to pray for, but it tells us on several occasions to pray for Jerusalem. And, you bring up what was in the book of Romans, in Romans chapters 9 through 11, Paul talks about Israel and the Jews and the chosen people and, how, they're going to be saved at some point. But, the thing about, you know, they're the root and we've been grafted in and the root supports the branch. The branch doesn't support the root. And, you know, this is very important things. And, you know, before when we were talking about anti-Semitism, it's amazing to me how anyone who says that they're a Christian can be anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
When you read through the scripture, and Stephen and I, that's basically all we do on this radio show, is talk about how the plan of salvation unfolds through the whole Old Testament, the whole Tanakh, and how all of that prefigures Yeshua. And you know how Yeshua says, you know, the scrolls speak of me. And, you know, yeah. How you can be anti-Semitic as a Christian is just mind-boggling.
It is, and Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, was a Jew.
Absolutely.
And his Bible was the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, he's called the Word. He wrote that. He wrote that Old Testament. It's him.
Yeah.
And he fulfilled it. And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes I go and speak to women's groups or just Sunday school classes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
in our local area.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, does anybody know a rabbi? And no one raises their hand. I say, well, I just spoke to one this morning. And they're like, wow, it's kind of early on a Sunday morning. Who? Well, I'm referring to Jesus. And it's surprising how many people still don't get it. But what's encouraging is that a lot of people are starting to get it. A lot of people are hearing this concept for mm-hmm. maybe the first time, uh-huh. and they're going, oh, my goodness, that makes sense.
Yes.
Wow.
You know, since I got involved with doing a lot of work with Messianic Jews and studying Tanakh and studying about Israel, you know, the humanity of Yeshua, the humanity of Jesus has become so much more real for me because, you know, we really get connected with the fact that, as you say, Jesus of Nazareth was a Jewish man who would have followed the laws and would have known the traditions and would have had those scriptures. And, you know, he wouldn't have necessarily looked like we picture him in our churches because he would have had a prayer shawl on and his head would have been covered. And
mm-hmm.
because this is how he would have lived his life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really a great part of my spiritual walk to really get into understanding the humanity of Jesus as a Jewish man, that mm-hmm. it's really done a lot for me.
And doesn't it just make the scriptures, you put on those lenses, like different glasses, and wow, everything pops when you start reading the Bible, and it starts making sense.
Yes.
And but you've got to be taught, you know,
yes.
that this is the first, just realize the Jewishness of the whole Bible. All his disciples,
mm-hmm.
He came for the Jews. Yeah, 66 books of the Bible, all written by Jews, except maybe Luke, and he probably converted to Judaism.
Yeah.
You know, it's Jewish through and through, and we don't want to, like, glorify Judaism. We want to glorify God.
Amen.
But it does, once you have that little key, it opens up just a delightful world of understanding the scriptures and God to, you know, an even deeper level.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point, Carrie, because, you know, God revealed himself to us through through the nation of Israel, because he taught them his laws and decrees, and they were to be a light to the nation, to the nations, I should say. And, you know, as we talk about Israel, we talk about the Jewish community, you know, I think it's important to reiterate that Jews are really from the tribe of Judah, which is one of the sons of Jacob, who became Israel. And that, you know, the nation of Israel is more than just a piece of land. It's a nation of people that God chose and made his own. And even though they sometimes didn't follow him completely, He still draws them. He still loves them, and he's going to restore the house of Israel, because that's, you know, it's spelled out in the scriptures. And even though nations may rise up against them, we were praying. My wife and I were praying with a couple of friends of ours because they're going to go down to Dallas to teach at a Bible college. And one of the things that we came across was in Second Chronicles, where Josaphat is praying before the whole assembly, and there's all these armies coming against him.
Oh yeah.
And in chapter 20, verse 13, it says, all Judah was standing before the Lord with their, with their little ones, their wives, and their young ones.
Yeah.
And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jezalel, son of Zechariah, and said, listen, all of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, the king of Josaphat, the Lord says to you, do not fear or lose heart at the sight of this vast multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. And we read that, and as we were praying for, for Israel, it just was so clear that, we just got to turn. We have to turn to God and trust in Him, because even the Lord says, if Israel would turn and worship Me, He would subdue their foes in an instant.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And so praying for the peace of Jerusalem, praying for their hearts to be open to receive and to understand that Jesus is their Messiah, that Yeshua is their Messiah. And there's a long history, as you were talking in the first segment of the program, if you do some studying in church history and if you just do some basic studying, you'll come to see that there is an ugly past in some of Christianity. Mm. Not all of it, but some of it. And unfortunately, it's there. It's part of the history. And I know that from my time in ministry and going to different churches and talking with different people, you really see that there is a lot that the Spirit of God is doing to break open and open hearts and open minds to love the things that God loves.
Yes.
And one of the things that God loves is Israel. And it's, if we're going to put on the mind of Christ, as Paul says, how do we put on the mind of Christ, but still have, unforgiveness or animosity towards a Jewish person? And as you were saying, salvation comes from the Jews. Jesus came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yes.
And He laid down His life willingly, not just for Israel, but for all mankind, mm-hmm. so that we would receive the gift of salvation, because we don't merit it by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, I think that as you start to understand really what God loves, you come to, like in the Bible where Ruth wanted to be where the Jewish people were at.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
she loved God.
Right.
And she
right.
loved the things of God. She loved the things that God loved.
Right.
And there's a friend of ours who does a lot of ministry who says, we need to love the things that God loves. And we don't worship Israel. We worship the God of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Well put. Yeah, that passage about King Jehoshaphat, here's a king,
mm-hmm.
the ruler of Israel, and he's like, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
Yeah.
And God says, the battle's not mm-hmm. yours. This mm-hmm. is my battle.
Yeah.
But you must take up your position.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, so we have to do our part and cooperate and take up our position, but ultimately the battle is the Lord's. Mm-hmm. And if you think about tiny, tiny little Israel, like mm-hmm. perhaps the size of New Jersey,
yeah.
And within Israel you've got the Palestinians, you've got Hezbollah, and you've got Hamas.
Yes.
Around Israel you've got Lebanon, which is falling apart. You've got
yes.
Syria, which is falling apart and funded by Iran. Mm-hmm. You've got the country of Jordan that has so many Palestinians mm-hmm. living there. And then you have Egypt that's yeah. falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just the neighbors,
yes.
the closest
yeah.
neighbors. And you go a tier beyond them, and you've got Iran and Iraq,
mm-hmm.
and Iran wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And you go beyond that with all the other Arab and Muslim nations, but let's not pick on them too much, because you come to Europe and America, and you go into the universities, and you see what the students are being taught about Israel, if they're being taught anything at all. Unfortunately, it's that Israel's a bad guy, Israel's a oppressor, Israel's an apartheid state. All those are lies.
Yeah, that they're the oppressor, yeah.
Yeah, so, yes. And it's just tiny little Israel up against these vast armies. But the good news is, like we've just talked about, there. All over the world, God is raising up another kind of army.
That's right. Yeah.
And there are people like you and me just in this church, this rural area. This, you know what? I know a widow in a rural farming community here in Illinois. She subscribes to the Jerusalem Post. She has for 20 years.
That's awesome.
Who would have thought that?
Wow.
No, it's happening not only in America, but all over the world.
Amen.
Well, we're coming up on our second break, Carrie. So we're just going to take about a minute or so off and listen to some more Paul Wilbur music, and we'll be right back with you on The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Stay tuned. The Gift of Grace is coming right back, right here on AM 1220, WHKW, The Word.
Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Before we get back to our special guest, Carrie Burns, let's have Steve talk about this special event again that's coming up.
Okay, there is a day of prayer for the peace of Jerusalem on Sunday, October 2nd at Slippery Rock University Union in Slippery Rock, PA from 6 to 9 p.m. It is a day to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. If you would like more information, please call 724-992-1259. Again, that's 724-992-1259. Or you can visit our website, www.giftofgraceministries.org, and go to the ministry page, and you'll find the information there. And it should be an awesome time of worship and praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
Awesome.
And that awesome song that we just heard.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah.
That's off of Paul Wilbur's new Desert Rain CD.
Recorded live in En-Gedi.
En-Gedi, yeah. Mm.
And boy, is that hot. I know you've been to Israel, I'm sure, many, many, many times, Carrie.
Yeah. In fact, I just got back about 3 weeks ago, and it was a wonderful time. I spent a month there, and
wow.
I keep working, because I can do, you know, with telecommuting, you can work just about anywhere, but
wow.
I was over there and meeting with the folks and talking with people and trying to soak up all I can
yeah.
on what's going on the world scene. And one of the things that I was able to do is go up to Haifa,
mm-hmm.
and in Haifa, there is a home for Holocaust survivors, and the Christians do the lion's share of fundraising
Whoa.
For this home. It's
That's
the
awesome.
Only home for Holocaust survivors in the whole land of Israel. And the German Christians actually are funding a lot of it, which is a beautiful thing.
Wow, awesome.
But the ICEJ has a big role in finding money and sending support and social workers over there. And I got to visit with the folks there. They are just so lovely, and they love being with each other.
Mm.
What we're discovering about Holocaust survivors is that as they get older, things naturally, you know, they get harder for all of us, but for Holocaust survivors, everything that they've stuffed down, that they've tried to valiantly live through and push through, raise their families, have an income, and get through life, well, now it all starts coming up.
Mm.
And so as it surfaces, they're with each other, and they understand each other, you know, as much as we try.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we learn and want to understand what it's like, we really can't understand what they went through. So I had the opportunity to visit with them, and was in preparation for a group of women that I'm going to bring next year. The ICEJ is organizing a trip for women, and we're going to go through Poland first and then to Israel, and we're going to bring presents and things to the Holocaust survivors in Haifa. It's just going to be so, so special.
Because, awesome.
You know, after we see Auschwitz and Treblinka and where the Warsaw Ghetto was and the Łódź Ghetto and things like that, then we're going to go and meet the survivors and hear their stories and bring them presents.
Mm. Yeah,
it's rich and beautiful.
Wow.
Were you recently in Poland?
Yes, as a matter of fact, and I can't stop talking about Poland.
Yeah.
Is going on there.
Yeah.
I was there last year around this time, and I went on a tour of a Holocaust tour with other Christians and Jews. And I'm like, what am I doing this for? Why am I doing this? And everyone else in the group felt the same way. But by the time the trip was over, we had a completely different understanding of what happened in Poland and what's happening there now.
Yeah.
Yes, that's where the Nazis had all their killing, lot of their killing done. And but the flip side is, wait a minute. The Yiddish speakers lived there for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
There's still evidence. There's still, it's just, you can't erase it.
No.
Exactly.
It's obvious. It's palpable.
Yes.
And what's happening now among the young people, they're taking Yiddish. There's, you know, maybe there's a handful of Jews there now, a few thousand.
Yeah.
In
there
Poland.
Were 60,000 before the war.
Well,
in
there
Krakow,
was
in Krakow.
3.5 million.
Yeah, 60,000 just in Krakow.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. And so there's only a few thousand in that whole country.
Yeah.
Poland's huge. It's a
yes.
huge country. So the Poles, pretty much a homogeneous group. They're, you know, white people. And but the Poles are falling in love with Judaism. And they're taking Yiddish. They're eating chopped liver. They're wearing prayer shawls. They're having Hebrew festivals. They're doing Yiddish theater. These are Poles.
Wow.
They're restoring Jewish cemeteries.
Yeah, synagogues. Yes.
And I just found this out in Jerusalem a few weeks ago, but the poles are also in the prisons there in Poland. They're having the prisoners go out and restore Jewish cemeteries.
Wow.
And they're loving it. You go to Poland, and the Polish cemeteries are beautiful. They're sparkling and clean and flowers and colorful. But the Jewish cemeteries are all forlorn, and trees are growing up and weeds, and the tombstones are kicked over, and there were mass shootings in these cemeteries, and there's no one to take care of the Jewish cemeteries. So the convicts are doing it.
Mm.
And as they're doing it, they're learning about who used to live with them side by side.
Yes.
And not only that, but now they're having classes in the prisons on the Holocaust, on Judaism, on, anti-Semitism education, like how, you know, what anti-Semitism is and how to get rid of it and stuff. And so many convicts want to go that they have to turn them away because of security reasons.
Wow.
If you got all these murderers.
Wow.
they're loving it. There's something going on.
Yeah.
And these people aren't Christians. They're not believers. Some of them might be. I'm talking more than the convicts now, but something is going on in that nation.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to an expert in Jerusalem when I was there a few weeks ago. His name is Shalmi Barmore, and he started the education program at Yad Vashem, which is the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. And he worked there for 27 years, and et cetera, et cetera. And I looked at him, and I said, I think Poland might be Israel's best friend in Europe.
Wow.
He said to me, Poland is Israel's best friend in Europe, no doubt about it.
Wow.
Poland. And so we need to take notice and help them along and encourage them and pray for Poland.
My wife and I were in Poland twice, and when we were in Krakow, we spent an awesome few days in the old Jewish quarter, and many of the old synagogues were being restored, and like you say, a lot of the parks and cemeteries were being cleaned up, and it was really quite an amazing sight.
It is amazing, and they are the young people are volunteering their time, and they're helping to restore synagogues. A lot of the synagogues, just like a lot of the churches during the Nazi era, were used to store shoes or horses or ammunition or guns, or they were burnt down and destroyed. Mm-hmm. And the young people are volunteering to put them back together again. Not all. Wow. There's so many.
That's awesome.
But
we're coming to the end of the show. Can you hear the music?
Oh, shoot. Yeah, this goes fast, doesn't it?
It does go fast. And I could talk about Israel all day.
Mm-hmm.
And but, boy, it's been great having you on the show.
Yeah, Carrie, we're going to have you back on to finish the conversation.
Yeah, we have to
continue
finish.
To continue the conversation.
Yes.
We'll have to do part two.
It.
And if you're ever back in this area, maybe we can have you come here and we'll just sit in the studio and do a couple of shows.
Well, you know, I might be coming back. So, let's do it. We'll keep each other, our contact information.
Great.
Okay.
Well, have a great evening, everyone, and an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow. And Steve and I will be back next week.
And if you'd like more information on the ICEJ, please check out their website on the web. And have an awesome Lord's Day, everyone.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks, and God bless.